Amen. Let us all say amen. Amen. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. It is indeed a wonderful privilege and a wonderful opportunity for us to be gathered together this morning on God's day in God's house with God's people for the express purpose of glorifying and magnifying the Lord's high and holy name. It is certainly a great honor and a great privilege for us to be here on today. Certainly, we share the enthusiasm of the psalmist of old when he declared, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And I don't know about you this morning, but I'm so thankful and grateful to be here today at the Hart Street Church of Christ, the church where everybody is somebody. Amen. And God is everything. God is the source of all of our blessings. I'm very thankful to the leadership, the eldership, your wonderful minister, for inviting me to come and be with you on today and throughout this week. I look forward to sharing with you what the Lord has shared with me. I'm very thankful to the brothers who led us in our worship service this morning. They've done an outstanding job. Amen. The song leader, the prayer leader, the scripture reader, we commend all of them. And it's always good to see manpower out front before God's people, because that's the way God designed it in the church as well as in the home. And so you're blessed to have some good brothers here, good elders. Had a chance to fellowship with them on yesterday, Brother Davis and Brother Prowell, Brother Daniels, and Brother Davis, as well as your wonderful minister, Brother Jones, and who has been with you for almost, I believe, 20 years, I believe 17 years, he informed me. And it's always good, brothers and sisters, to hang on to a good minister, because good preachers these days are hard to find. Amen? They're hard, very hard to find. And so I've known Brother Jones for a while, and I hold him and his family in high regard. He hails from the great state of Mississippi. Amen, amen. Can anything good come out of Mississippi? I would say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Amen, amen. That's where my daughters were born. My three daughters were born in the Mississippi Delta. I'm very happy to have my wife with me on today. I'm going to ask her to stand. She's already been mentioned by Brother Jones, but Lord willing, in October, we will have been married 25 years. That's my wife. Thank Tony Robinson. I thank the Lord for her. We're blessed to have three daughters, Clarice, Ashley, and Erica. Clarice teaches and works in Helena, Arkansas. She's with the Teach for America program. My middle daughter, Ashley, is an educator in Denton, Texas. She works in an after-school program there. And my youngest daughter recently finished at Southwestern Christian College, and she's in the audience on this morning. I'm going to ask her to stand. Erica Robinson. Amen. God is truly good. Amen. And, you know, I often told people when my daughters were toddlers that I used to refer to them as any, many, and miney, but there will be no mo. Is that all right? Amen. God is truly good. Very thankful to have my mother-in-law. My mother, we mentioned this morning, Brother Jones taught an outstanding Bible class this morning. I tell you, I don't see how people can miss Bible class. But I tell you what, he did a masterful job in talking about Ruth and Naomi. And I thought about my own mother-in-law who's in the audience this morning. I'm truly blessed to have a wonderful mother-in-law, and I'm going to ask her to stand on this morning. Mabel Carruthers, amen. God is truly good, amen. And I see two of my sister-in-laws, Madre Carruthers, and let's see, Andre and Tanya in the audience. I'm going to ask them to stand this morning, amen, so you can recognize them. If y'all don't mind, I'm not going to preach long. Okay, so it's good to have my brother-in-law, Jerome, in the audience, amen, on this morning, all right. And also I see two of my nieces. I'm going to ask Raquel to stand. She recently finished her master's, I believe, at Vanderbilt University. Amen, amen. Young people, it's all right to be smart. Amen. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. It's all right to be smart, all right? I got another smart niece in Rachel. She's, amen, straight-A student, amen. Proud of Rachel, okay? And then my nephew, Brother Russell Porner, Jr., going to ask him to stand. He's a student at Morehouse College, amen. In fact, I'm going to ask him, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to ask him to come forward and lead us in a song. If y'all don't mind, he's a gifted song leader, and I promise you, I'm not going to preach long this morning, all right? And so, but it's good to see, you know, always good to have young people who are willing to serve, and I hope that his presence and participation this morning will encourage other young people. Brother Russell?
The church say amen. The church say amen again. Let us know this number, 646. Just a little talk with Jesus. 646. 646, just a little talk with Jesus. 646. All found, let us sing. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Whoa, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Oh Lord, and it bared my heart in. Oh Lord, and wrote my name above. Well, but just a little talk with him. Oh, and make. Oh, come on and let us have a little talk with him. Come on and let us tell him all about our. I know we will hear our. Whoa, and no doubt he's gonna answer. Now when you feel a little prayer, whoa, and as your heart onto heaven is turning, and you will find, well, it makes it right. Oh, oh, and sometimes my past seems drear, well, and without a ray of cheer, oh, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. Oh, don't you know that the mist of sin may, oh, Lord, and it hides the starry skies. Oh, but just a little talk with Jesus. Oh, come on, come on, come on and let us have y'all. Well, come on and let us tell them all about the troubles we face. He will hear it. And no doubt in my mind he's gonna answer. Now when you feel a little prayer, well, and as your heart onto heaven is turning, and you will find a little talk with the, well, it makes it right. Don't you know, y'all, that I may have doubts and fears. Sometimes my eyes be filled with tears. Oh, and Jesus is a friend who, that's the good thing about it, y'all. He watches 24/7. I go to him in. Oh, Lord, and he knows my every care. Well, but just a little talk with him. Well, come on, come on, come on and let us have y'all. Well, come on and let us tell them all about our. I know he's gonna hear it, y'all. No doubt in my mind he'll answer. Now whenever you feel a little prayer, well, and as your heart unto heaven is turning, and you will find with Jesus makes it right. Oh, don't you know it's all right? Well, it's all right. It's all right. Whoa, it's all right. Well, not just a little talk with. Well, it makes it right. You gotta tell yourself this in the middle. It's all right. Well, it's all right. It's all right. Oh, it's all right. Well, not just a little talk with the Jesus make. Oh, come on and let us have y'all. Well, come on and let us tell him all about our. I know he's gonna hear it. The best thing about it, I know he's gonna answer by and by, by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer, well, and as your heart unto heaven is turning, and you will find with the Jesus makes it right.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. We thank the Lord for gifting that young man, and not only him, but I know that there are other gifted song leaders in this audience, and I just feel better after that. Is that all right? Amen. I'm not going to keep you long this morning. If you have your Bibles, open them up to the gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse number 20 and ending with verse number 24. I appreciate our scripture reader today for reading verses 11 through 24 to expedite some time. I'm going to begin with verse number 20. That's Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse number 20. And if you have it, please let me know by saying amen. Amen. And the word of God reads as follows. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out what kind of robe? The best robe. Aren't you glad God always gives us the best? The best robe. And put it on him. And put a ring on his hand. And sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Luke chapter 15, verses number 11 through 24. And for just a short time this morning, please consider with me this subject. Everybody needs a little KFC. Everybody needs a little KFC. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell him or her that? Everybody needs a little KFC. But brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, most of us, if not all of us, have seen and heard the television commercial about Kentucky Fried Chicken. Their motto is, everybody needs a little KFC. That is Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't know about you in Tennessee, but way down in Texas, we like Kentucky Fried Chicken. If you like Kentucky Fried Chicken, it's all right to say amen. Amen. I like the crispy kind. I like the original kind. I like the hot and spicy kind. And I like the neck bones too. The KFC Colonel Sanders offers us, however, benefits us physically and temporarily. But the KFC God through Jesus Christ offers us benefits us both spiritually and eternally. That's the KFC I want to talk about this morning. You see, in a world in which men assault men, we need a little KFC. In a world in which women hurt women, we need a little KFC. In a world in which men abuse women and women have a tendency to misuse men, we could use a little KFC. In a world in which parents neglect children and some children disrespect their parents, we need a little KFC. In our text today, we're introduced to a young man who had met his match with the world. In the first part of the narrative, the young man displayed a sick of home attitude. just couldn't wait to get away from home. But in the second part of the narrative, the young man showed a disposition of homesickness. In other words, the prodigal son left home healthy, wealthy, and wise. But he returned home hopeless, helpless, and penniless. You see, everybody needs help in this life. Everybody needs a hope in this life. Everybody needs a home to call his own. And everybody needs a little KLC. Let's walk through the narrative this morning, and then we will, and then the lesson will be yours. I want us to note something, some things from this text, just in case you're taking notes. In Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse number 11, Jesus told this parable because he was addressing the self-righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Luke 15, beginning with verse 1. If you're there, let me know by saying amen. The word of God says, then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father. Now note that the father in this narrative represents God the Father. Notice the next two words. What are they? Give me. Underscore those two words. Give me. Give me. Doesn't that sound familiar today in our modern society? We live in a self-indulgent, a self-centered culture. Am I right about it? Give me. Give. Every time you turn around, folk are saying, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Where I'm from, Brother Jones, people say, Gimme got his neck broke messing with his kinfolk. Give me, give me, give me the goods that falls to me. Notice the next part of the verse. So he what? Divided unto them his what? His living or his livelihood. Notice that the father did not argue with his son. The father did not dispute or debate his son. He merely complied with his request. Am I right about it? There's a lesson in this for us today. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you this morning, always be careful about what you ask for. Am I right about it? Be careful about what you request, because the God that I serve has a way of allowing us to experience what we desire. And then after we experience it, God will turn right around and punish us. Are y'all with me? In Romans chapter 1, if you read that carefully, you will discover where there were men who burned for other men. There were women who desired other women. And three times in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, the Bible says, and God gave them up. Romans 1 in verse number 26, and God gave them up. Romans 1 in verse 28, the Bible says, and God gave them up. Over to a reprobate mind. Be careful about what you ask for, about what you desire in life, because God has a way of giving you what you want, and then after you get it, he'll condemn you for it. Are y'all with me this morning? Stay with me, because there is a word from the Lord. Verse 13, if you're there, let me know by saying amen. The Bible says, and not many days after, the younger son what? Gathered how much? Gather, or underscore that word, all. We'll come back for it momentarily. He gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there what? Wasted his what? His substance. Or in the New King James, it said, wasted his possessions with riotous living or prodigal living. Doesn't that remind you of our society today? I submit to you today, I know y'all don't have this problem in Tennessee, but in Texas, where I'm from, we have a lot of wasteful folk. Folk who waste money, folk who waste time, folk who waste their talents, waste their resources, and waste their money. Y'all, I believe it's a sin to waste. Am I right about it? There are folk right now, help me somebody, in Oklahoma who would love to trade places with you and me this morning. Don't have decent food. Don't have decent water to drink. I'm here to tell you, always be thankful for what you have. Am I right about it? Wasted his substance with what? Riotous living. Prodigal living. Can't you imagine in your mind, if I can use my sanctified imagination, this young brother was out there shaking his rump, to the bump. Am I right about sucking and jiving, slipping and sliding, hoping and doping, smoking and choking? Y'all don't hear me this morning. Faking and shaking. Now y'all don't hear me. Out there in the club when he should have been in his father's house. And the Bible says he wasted his substance with riotous living. Notice verse 14. If you're there, let me know by saying amen. But when he had what? Spent how much? All. Now look at verse 13. We read where he gathered all. But in verse 14, the Bible says, and when he had spent all. Now you got to give this rascal credit, Brother Daniels. At least when he did something, he went all the, y'all don't hear me this morning. Brothers and sisters, I think there's a lesson in that for us. Would to God that we had more church folk who were willing to go all the way out for the Lord. We have too many folk in the church who are standing on the fence, sitting on the fence. They got one foot in the world and another foot in the church. I'm here to tell you today, it's high time that we get all the way on God's side or all the way on the devil's side. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? Some of your heart? Most of your heart? No, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. God wants it all or none at all. Y'all don't hear me this morning. The Bible says, and when he had spent all, at least when he did something, he went all the way out. And the Bible said, but when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to what? To be in want. You see, it pays to save for a rainy day. Am I right about it? It pays to save for a rainy day. Listen to verse 15. If you're there, let me know by saying amen. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Listen to verse 16. If you're there, let me know by saying amen. And when he would gladly have filled his stomach with the what? With the pods, with the that the swine did eat. Isn't that interesting? Here's a young man. One day he was eating off the hall. The next day he's desiring to eat with the hall. Y'all don't hear me this morning. One day he was eating off the hall. Next day he's desiring Brother Jones to eat with the hall. I think there's a lesson in that. That's why it pays. Always keep your trust in God. Because you can be up today and down. Am I right about it? And down not tomorrow. You can be up today and down tonight. Am I right about it? Life is so uncertain and so unpredictable. It behooves all of us to keep our faith and our trust in God. Am I right about it? That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, you can help me quote it, trust in the Lord with what? Some of your heart? With most of your heart? No, with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding in what? Some of your ways? In all of your ways. Am I right about it? Acknowledge him and he shall what? Direct your back. Always keep your trust in God. Am I right about it? And notice, and then he goes on to say in verse 16, and no one, he was hungry now, and no one or no man gave him anything. One thing I learned, Brother Prowl, about life is that when you're down and out, you then discover who your real friends are. Am I right about it? You see, as long as the money is high and the bills are low, help me somebody, you're going to have Bobo Nim and Jojo Nim hanging out with, am I right about it? But when the table has been flipped, help me somebody, you know, the money is low and the bills are high, you'll then find out who your real friends are. And that's why I say to the young people who are here today, the best friend you can have in this world, help me somebody, it's not Puff Mama and Puff Daddy. It is not, help me son, it's not 15 cents, Snoopy Dog, iced tea, lemonade, or Kool-Aid. The best friend you can have is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Am I right about it? That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 18 and verse 24, a man who has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and that friend is Jesus. Jesus. Am I right about it? I feel like preaching this morning. Is that all right today? Let's move on here in verse number 17. If you're there, let me know by saying, I'm trying to get to the KFC. Y'all stay with me now. Verse 17, if you're there, let me know by saying amen. And when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's house have what? Bread enough and to spare. And I what? And I perish with hunger. He's out there in that big bad world now. You see, now he realized just how good he had it at home. You see, there are a lot of young folk in this world, help me somebody, who have this attitude, Brother Davis, I just can't wait to get away from home, because when I get away from home out here in Tennessee, I'm moving to the University of Alaska. Move on with your bad self. Help me somebody. Oh yes, because you see, when you're at home, help me somebody, you use up all the lights, but don't pay an electricity bill. Y'all don't hear me. You eat up all the food, but don't pay a grocery bill. You turn the water on in the bathroom and let it run. Walk all the way around the house for 15 minutes. The reason you do that, you don't pay a water bill, but keep on living with your bad self. There will come a day when you have to pay your own light bill, help me somebody, your own car note, your own grocery bill, your own water bill, and then you realize just how good you had it at home. And that's why my advice to young folk today, men, don't try to grow up so fast. Appreciate home while you're at home. Because the truth of the matter is, there is no place. Y'all don't hear me this morning. And the prodigal son had to learn that. Listen to verse number 18. He said, I will arise and what? Go to my... That's another thing. Let me show you something. Always be careful about how you leave home. Can y'all wave at me, somebody? Come on now. Always be careful about how you leave home. Because you never know when you might have to go back home. And if you leave mama's house, slamming her door, help me somebody, having cussed your daddy out, help me somebody, and then this big bad world gets a hold of you, and you have to come, help me somebody, down on your knees, but be careful about how you leave home. I tell you another thing I've learned, Brother Jones, be careful about how you leave a job. Help me somebody, be careful about how you leave a job, because you never know. The same folk you dog out, you might have to go back to those same folk on your knees and beg for that job. Y'all don't hear me this morning. To the young folk, be careful how you leave a school. Be careful how you leave a school. Because you may have to call back and ask for a recommendation. Well, are y'all with me this morning? I think I'm preaching to somebody today. Verse 8, he said, I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But notice the change in his attitude. He next two words are what? Make me. Is that in your Bible? Make me. You see, he left home singing the song, Give Me. But that big bad world has gotten a hold of him. He's changed his attitude. Make me. You see, a lot of young folk today leave home singing a song, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. But after that big bad world gets a hold of them, chews them up and spits them out, they come home singing another song, Brother Jones, help me, help me, help me. That should have been your attitude in the first place. Somebody ought to say amen today. Make me like one of your hard servants. And here's the KFC I was trying to get to, verse number 20. If you're there, let me know by saying amen. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and what? Kissed him. There's emotion all over that verse there. But here's the KFC I want to share with you this morning, and then the lesson will be yours. The K represents kindness. The K represents kindness. Everybody needs a little KFC. The K represents kindness. Someone has observed that kindness is the ability to love people more than they deserve. That's what the kindness of God is all about. Am I right about it? God is so kind that he treats us better than we deserve. The father of our narrative did not treat his son roughly as he deserved to be treated. Instead, he treated him royally. Because if you notice verse number 22, the father said, but bring forth the best robe. I thank God that he's such a good God. Am I right about it? Because he always gives his children the best. Even when we're at our worst, God will give us his best. Bring forth the best, not some dirty, flimsy robe. God always gives his children the best. But my question this morning, when will God's children ever learn to give God the best? Are y'all with me? To bring forth the best robe. This was a sign of a special honor. And then it says, put a ring on his hand, which was a symbol of honor. And then sandals on his feet, because only slaves went without sandals or shoes. That meant that his sonship had been restored. What does this mean for you and me today? This is the way God treats all of his prodigal sons and prodigal daughters today. When we deserve hatred, God gives us love. When we deserve pain, God gives us peace. When we deserve misery, God gives us mercy. Somebody ought to say amen today. When we deserve bondage, God gives us liberty. When we deserve shame, God gives us salvation. When we deserve guilt, God gives us grace. When we deserve to die, God gives us life, and he gives it more abundantly. That reminds me, in my own life, I've received some kindness. I've been treated better than I deserve. I remember traveling in East Texas or West Texas on one occasion, and Brother Jones, I was doing in a 55 mile per hour zone. Pulled over by the highway patrol. I shown up, should have received the ticket. But after he checked me out, he told me, Brother Daniels, I'm going to let you slide. That's what you call kindness. He gave me a warning ticket. You see, that's what kindness is all about, being treated better than I deserve. And that's what the kindness of God is all about today. The K represents kindness. The F represents forgiveness. Forgiveness. Everybody needs a little KFC. You see, what I love about God's forgiveness is that when God forgives, he also forgets. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, I will remember their righteousnesses, their unrighteousness, and their sins. I will remember no more. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities. I will remember no more. God forgets the sin, but he never forgets you and me, the sinner. You see, the father in our narrative forgot about the sins of his son, but he had not forgotten about his son. Because if you look at the text carefully, he never got a chance to finish his confession. Am I right about it? He said in verse number 21, and the father said to him, the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Isn't God a good God? You can always count on God to forgive you if you do what he requires. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 in verse number 9, y'all can help me quote it. If we what? Confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? Some unrighteousness, most unrighteousness, no, from all unrighteousness. Righteousness. I'm so glad that when God forgives, he also forgets. You can always count on God to forgive you, but you can't always count on people to forgive you. Are y'all with me? Because in the second part of this narrative, you read on, the older brother brought up some stuff. Y'all remember that? He had bitterness in his heart. He was not willing to forgive his brother. And guess what God says about that? If you don't forgive your brother and sister, God the Father will not forgive you. Are y'all with me this morning? And brothers and sisters, there may be some times when we're going to be called upon to forgive people who've done us some serious harm. That reminds me of a true story that I heard. This is not a preacher story now. This is a true story. A brother and sister, Frank Morris, in Kentucky, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, had a son, only son, Ted Morris. One night, in fact, two nights before Christmas, 1982, Ted Morris was struck and killed by a drunk driver. What a tragedy that any parent, for any parents to go through. The murderer of their only son was a gentleman by the name of Tom Pajaj. And of course, as any parents, normal parents would be, Brother and Sister Morris were deeply upset. They were angry. In fact, they showed up at court every day with anger, bitterness, animosity in their heart, determined to see the murderer of their only son either lose his liberty or lose his life. But God. I said, but God. But God began to work in their hearts to such an extent that Brother and Sister Morris chose to forgive the murderer of their only son. But check this out, Brother Proud. They not only forgave Ted, they not only forgave Mr. Pajaj, but they formed a relationship with him, taught him the gospel, baptized him into the church, and then turned around and adopted him into their family. What kind of stuff is that? That's what you call KFC. Are y'all with me? That's what you call forgiveness. But doesn't that remind you of something? Doesn't that remind you of something? Was it not our sins that put Jesus on the tree of the cross? Was it not our iniquities that caused Jesus to die on that cross? But God chose to forgive us. He turned around and taught us through his word, baptized us into his family, and now instead of treating us as enemies, he embraces us as sons and daughters. That's why I just firmly believe, Brother Jones, that the most joyful folk in the world ought to be children of God. Christians, members of the Church of Christ, because God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. That's what you call KFC. Everybody needs a little KFC. The K represents kindness. The F represents forgiveness. And the C represents compassion. Y'all thought I was talking about neck bones, did you? Compassion. The father in our narrative had compassion on his son. Look at verse 20. If you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. The Bible says, and he arose. That's what somebody needs to do this morning. Get up and come to the Father. Come to the Father. But when he was still, check this out, but when he was still a great way off, his father what? Saw. Here's what I want you to underscore right here. The son did not see the father. It was the father who saw the son and had compassion. The son didn't have compassion on the father. The father had compassion on the son and ran. It wasn't the son who ran to the father. It was the father who ran to the son and fell on his neck. It wasn't the son who fell on the father's neck. It was the father who fell on the son's neck and kissed him. It wasn't the son who kissed the father. It was the father who kissed the son. What does that mean for us? That means that real love always begins with God. Am I right about it? And never with man. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 in verse number 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation, what? For our sin. And then verse number 19 said, we love him because he first loved us. It all begins with God. Is that all right this morning? You see, that's what God's compassion, that's the way God's compassion is toward you and me today. God not only feels for us, but he acts in our behalf. I submit to you here at the Hart Street Church of Christ, what people need today more than anything else is compassion. In fact, many people in this city, in this community, are looking for compassion, not criticism. They're looking for compassion. Sinners in this community are looking not for condemnation. They're looking for compassion. That's why so many people were attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was the compassionate Savior. Am I right about it? The golden text of the Bible, John 3 and verse number 16. You can help me quote it. For God so what? Loved the world that he did what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believes in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. But for some reason we stop with verse 16. Verse 17 is just as significant, for it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'm so glad today, Brother Daniels, that a compassionate Savior gave healing to the hurting. A compassionate Savior gave sight to the blind. A compassionate Savior gave love to the loveless, help to the helpless, hope to the hopeless, food to the hungry. Oh yes, thank God for a compassionate Savior who gave strength to the weak, salvation to the sinner, and peace to those who are confused. Somebody has said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. But I'm so glad that our greatest need was for KFC. And so God sent his Son Jesus, who did for us what we could not do for ourselves. As I close this sermon out this morning, I need y'all to help me preach it, if y'all don't mind. When I lift up my sign, I want y'all to say KFC. All right, let's try it. All right, say it like I think they're on the ball on this side. Let's try it on this side here.
KFC.
All right, let's try it over here.
KFC.
All right, they've gotten stronger. All right, help me out this morning. Brothers and sisters, I've learned, having been in this world for 46 years, having been married for almost 25 years, I've learned that it takes more than money to keep a marriage together. You've got to have some. It takes more than pretty clothes, help me somebody, to keep your children off the streets. You got to have some. It takes more than stocks and bonds, silver and gold, to keep a relationship together. You've got to have some. If you don't believe what I'm asked, what I'm talking about, just ask Donald Trump, Tiger Woods, Kim Kardashian. They get all the trophies and the trinkets, but their lives are messed up. Somebody ought to say amen today. It takes more than houses and land to keep a family together. You've got to have some. It takes more than power and prestige to keep relationships intact. You've got to have some. It takes more than pretty pews and a pretty church building to keep church folk together. You got to have some. You see, one of the things that's messing up our world is that too many folk are taking their information and inspiration from MTV and BET. You see, some folk in the church, especially our young folk, watch too much MTV and BET. But I submit to you this morning, watching too much MTV and BET will tempt you to get down with OPP. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Watching too much MTV and too much BET will tempt you to get down with OPP. And if you get down with OPP, you might end up with HIV. Help me somebody. Watching too much MTV and BET will tempt you to get down with OPP, and then you might end up with HIV. My advice to you this morning is get wrapped up in and KFC comes from G-O-D. Is that all right this morning? If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But I submit to you today, our greatest need was for therefore, God sent his Son, Jesus, who did for us what we could not do for ourselves. I don't know about y'all this morning, but I'm glad to be a Christian. I'm glad to be a child of God. Man, I'm so glad to be a member of the Church of Christ. Because in the Church of Christ, when I come and mingle and mix with my brothers and sisters, I experience God's
KFC.
And that's why I say to you today, there is no place like home. And especially God's home. Is that all right this morning? That young brother's helping me right there. He's in my amen corner. Amen. Amen. There is no place like the Church of Christ. Is that all right this morning? And brothers and sisters, I know about this firsthand. I know about this firsthand, having grown up in the Lord's church. I'm from a family of 10. Jacksonville, Texas. That's where I was born and reared. And I'm thankful that my parents are still living. Still living. My father, you know, he's having some serious health problems right now, but I thank God for loaning him. That's what we got to remember. We're all loans. All right, I may talk about that this week. You know, we don't really own anything and anybody in the true sense of the word. That's why we got to learn how to appreciate one another while we have these golden opportunities. Am I right about it? But when I attended Southwestern Christian College, I would go home every weekend to preach at a small congregation in Natchez, Texas. And I would go home there, and I remember one Friday evening when I got ready to leave campus, about 96 miles, headed home to Jacksonville. I was tired. I was hungry. I was broke. And that gas needle was leaning toward E. How many of you right now, your gas needle's leaning? Don't raise your hand, just pray about it. I started my journey, Brother Daniel, with this thought. If I could just make it home. If I can just make it home, everything would be all right. If I can just make it home, everything would be all right, because that's where my father is. My father worked at a gas station. We changed tires and he pumped gas, and often I could go by there and get my car filled up with gas. He'll send me on my way. If I could just make it home, everything would be all right, because that's where my mother is. My mother would take my dirty clothes and wash them and clean them up and then make sure that I had plenty of food to eat and send me on my way. If I can just make it home, everything would be all right, because that's where my brothers lived and my sisters lived. If I could just make it home, everything would be all right. I'm here to report to you this morning that by the grace of God, I made it home safely. And it happened just as I had predicted. My father took my car and filled it up with gas, and my mother took my dirty clothes, washed them for me, but my mother didn't feel like cooking on that Friday evening, and so, but my youngest brother at that time worked at
KFC,
and we went down to KFC and had a finger licking. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The moral of that story is simply this: there is no place like home, and when it comes to the church, there is no place like God's family, God's home, and that is His church. I believe that I'm looking into the eyes of some people who strayed away. Just like the prodigal son, I'm looking at some prodigal daughters, prodigal sons this morning. I want to beg you to come on back home. I want to beg you to come on back home, because you don't know what you're missing out on. That world out there is mean, cruel. Beat you up, beat you down. You can only receive unconditional love in God's family. God will give you the best. All you have to do is to be willing to do what that prodigal son did. Come home, confess that you messed up. But here's the key: say what you mean and mean what you say. There's a song, 642, I believe, I Am Resolved. I Am Resolved. Do you know that, Brother Pratt?
Yes,
would you mind, if you don't mind, sir, leading us in that in just a few minutes? That's a beautiful song, and I think it's appropriate here on this morning because somebody needs to come on back home. And we want to encourage you to come on back home on today. Or if you're here and you're not even a part of God's family, you need a good, solid church family, a scriptural church family. We want to invite you to become a member of the Heart Street Church of Christ on this morning. You're not becoming a part of a denomination. You don't come down here and pray the sinner's prayer. Here's what you need to do. You've heard the word this morning. Believe it with all of your heart. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you're willing to do that this morning, to come down this aisle and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, after you have repented of your sins, confess the sweetest name known to mortal man. And if you're willing to do that, we can baptize you today. That's what I love about the Church of Christ. When folk desire to obey the gospel, we won't wait until the fourth Sunday or the second Sunday. We will baptize you the same hour of the day. All of your sins will be washed away. God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. He will add you to his church. You know what that means? The significance of that. Not only do we write your name down on our roll, most importantly, the Lord will write your name down on his roll in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? To know that your name will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you need to come, you need to respond. Why don't you do so right now? If you need somebody to walk with you, you need me to come get you, raise your hand, I'll come get you. Because this is serious when it comes to one's eternal destiny. If you know you need to come, why don't you do so right now as together we stand and sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight.
Where things that are higher, things that are nowhere, these have allured my sight. Oh, and I,
would that be one? Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed.
To him hasten so glad and free. Hasten glad and free. Jesus,
he's the greatest. He's the highest. Why don't you come to Jesus?
Come to thee.
I am resolved to go to the Savior.
Jesus can save you. He's the kind Savior. He's the forgiving Savior. He's the compassionate Savior. Don't you want God's KFC? Why don't you come?
I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free.
He's the greatest. He's the greatest. He's the highest. Nobody like Jesus.
Come to thee.
I am resolved to.
It's not too late. Come on. If you need somebody to walk with you, you need me to come get you. Don't be afraid. Come on. Come on home this morning. The world has nothing for you but headaches, heartaches. Come to Jesus. Nobody like Jesus.
Well, and I will hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free. Well,
he's the greatest. He's the greatest. He's the highest. Nobody like Jesus. Come on this morning.
Come to thee.
I'm resolved
to enter the kingdom.
Don't you want to enter the kingdom?
The path of sin.
Leave the path of sin. Come on this morning.
They oppose me, foes may
beset
me.
Don't be afraid.
Well, and I will hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free. Hasten glad and free. Jesus.
He's the greatest. He's the highest. Nobody like Jesus.
come to thee.
I am resolved.
Don't you want to come?
Who will come with me?
Come on.
Friends without delay.
Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit. We'll walk the heaven. Don't come on this morning.
Leeway, will and I will hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free.
Well, you may be seated. May God bless you.